Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Welcome to Bravo Happy Hour. I'm your host, Megan O'Donnell. Grab yourself a drink and join me while I break down the week in Bravo TV news. Kelly Dodd from The Real Housewives of OC has responded to the season 13 reunion trailer where Vicki Gunvalson accuses Dodd of being a cocaine user. Gigi from Shaws of Sunset opens up about her addiction issues beginning at age 11 and how her new business venture has helped cure her anxiety and issues related to her addiction. And everyone's favorite villain, Ashley Jacobs from Southern Charm, has changed her tune about her relationship with ex-boyfriend Thomas Ravenel in a verbose Instagram post dedicated to him last week. We'll also discuss our favorite moments that aired on Bravo this week, from the major fight on the Married to Medicine couples trip to Candy Burris' comments about the new season of The Real Housewives of Atlanta. I will be tackling this mess and more with today's co-host, Becky Bernstein. She's a fan favorite from episode 3 of Bravo Happy Hour and is back today to dish on all things Bravo. Welcome back!
Hey, thanks for having me.
So to get to know Becky a little bit better, I'm going to ask you 3 questions. First, what is your favorite show on Bravo?
Today, kind of go with Vanderpump Rules. I don't know if I said that on the other episode, did I?
Every single person who's comes on here basically says Vanderpump Rules is their favorite.
All right, so. Well, my second for today will be Real Housewives of Atlanta, since I just restarted it from the beginning.
Oh, so good. What is your least favorite show?
I'm just going to go with, I don't know, they're all so good. No.
Well, is there a Housewives series that you don't watch that you have no interest in?
So, like, the OC is so entertaining, but at the same time, I feel like, so how about we go with that for today?
All right, again, second week in a row where the favorite is BPR and the least is OC. And what is one Bravo star that you think should come back to any franchise or series?
I think a wild card would be Aviva on Real Housewives of New York. Just really throw it back.
I mean, I would agree with that. She was batshit crazy. And yeah. It was like a level of like elitism, yeah. Craziness, the leg.
Yeah. Oh my God. Iconic.
Iconic.
But also not, because her dad was like for sure sexually assaulting everyone. And she was like about it.
She was like, that's his shtick. It's like, oh, has he been doing this your whole life to your friends?
No, and then not just to her friends, but then they're on vacation and she brings her dad and she takes, like, her cover-up off by the pool and he's like, God damn. And somebody's like, that's your daughter. And she's like, laughs. She's like, it's okay. Yeah, like, that's her shtick. Like, we all need to go to therapy, but like.
That is like some Trump and Ivanka shit.
Yes.
Like, that is.
But on a more realistic, but equally as bleak level, obviously, yes. Kim Richards.
Yeah, I would love to have Kim back. Obviously, you know, I want the best for her. Yeah. She should not be on my TV. However, yes. I'm selfish.
Exactly.
Well, to again start the week off on the show you like the least. So this past week, the season 13 reunion trailer has aired, and Kelly Dodd was attacked by Vicki Gunvalson and accused of being a cocaine addict. So obviously, the trailer was full of, like, tons of funny stuff.
Right.
However, this was, like, the most scathing, you know, character assassination you could, you know, do to your fellow castmate.
Definitely.
So Kelly is now saying all over Instagram that she refuses to be on next season unless Vicki is no longer on the show.
How do you think that's gonna go?
It's weird. Like, you know, like, Vicky's the OG.
Yeah.
But everybody on the internet basically hates her and wants her off. And Bravo does have, like, the track record of listening to fans.
Very true. Very true.
And people really like Kelly. And she is a cokehead.
Yeah.
But that's what makes her so fun.
I mean, let's. Yeah, that there's a good majority of them that probably are out of the housewives.
I mean, yeah, she's not the only one, and this isn't the first cocaine accusation. There was Dorit. There was Dorinda.
Yeah.
Now Kelly.
Like, the Dorit one, like, I feel like we just shoved that right under the rug. Like, they have footage of everyone at the table getting nothing to powder their nose for an hour.
Literally.
And, like, what?
Yeah, I feel really bad, and I see why Kelly's obviously very upset. She's a teen daughter.
Sure.
And no one wants, you know, your dirty laundry to be aired on
Absolutely.
TV.
Absolutely.
And but it's also just hilarious.
Yeah.
The whole situation, you know.
there's nothing like a baseless accusation coming from Vicky. Like, her fight with Kelly was warranted. Like, Kelly, you know, was dating. So, if you guys don't have any background on the whole Vicky-Kelly thing, this past year, Kelly got a divorce. Vicky became friends with her ex-husband.
Right.
And then they became double dating with Vicky's friends. And they didn't let Kelly know.
Right.
So, obviously, Kelly has been, like, gunning after you all season.
Yeah.
And even we reported last week that they were fighting, and Kelly called Vicky spoiled milk. But it now all makes sense that obviously Kelly would be saying this stuff after the reunion where this has been happening.
Right. There's nothing like a good cocaine accusation.
There's nothing better. I mean, and with like the Dorinda one, it was a little different because like all the women on the stage, like Sonia was like, everyone knows you do it.
Yeah. Wait, that's what I love about Real Housewives of New York.
It's like, they're like, who cares? Bethany's like, what are you snorting rails in the bathroom? It's like, oh my god.
But I would like prefer that than like, what's their names? Like Kim and Kyle in the bathroom, with their makeup bag. Like, their makeup isn't done, but they've been in there for 2 hours, on and off. And like, the cameramen are like zooming in on the makeup bag. It's like, but we're not gonna talk about it at all. Like, it's funny.
I think if there was any sort of inkling that Kelly was doing drugs near the crew, they probably would have made
hopefully
a thing.
Yeah.
I've heard, like, on podcasts of, like, other producers talking about shows that are on Bravo, probably specifically Vanderpump Rules, but there's, like, an acronym that they use to say, like, drugs are on camera type of thing, and so they'll, like, say those things to, like, the cam guy and make him, like, change his lens.
For sure.
You don't get the coke in the scene.
Mm-hmm.
But if that were the case with Kelly, they would have been milking it. Like, they would have seen what they've shot at the reunion and then re-edited, like, the ending episodes of the
definitely
season to show her new coke ink, like, her coke addict.
Right. Arc. Like, her cocanic.
Yeah.
I agree with that. Although, I'm sure that a lot of the housewives do drugs and they don't get anything. Like,
I mean, last season, like, Stassi Schroeder on Vanderpump Rules was, like, mixing Ambien and tons of booze. And she was like, of course I don't remember anything. I was on Ambien. And, like, they've, like, normalized, like, any sort of, like casual drug use.
Exactly. Oh, I know. But then you're kind of like, okay, girl, well, we hate you less for that, actually, because you let us know.
Yeah. Now I understand why you behaved that way. Well, moving on to New Jersey, Jackie Goldschneider, who is the newbie on this upcoming season of The Real Housewives of New Jersey, has opened up about her really terrifying eating disorder that she's been battling with for the past 10 years. So this past week, Jackie opened up to People Magazine, and on this past week's episode of New Jersey, all about her struggles with anorexia, and yeah, it's so sad.
It's real sad.
I really applaud her for coming out on the show and being so open and vulnerable and, like, a very confident way of talking about something very serious. I thought that was, like, really nice.
Yeah. And it's, like, obviously the show is not about social change.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, you have a platform and I think, like, of course it's not, like, your responsibility just because you're going through something to share it with people. But if you are given a platform, like, if you can help, I think there's been history of eating disorders with these women, like, amongst the franchise that's, like, hinted at but never dealt with.
Yeah.
Which kind of perpetuates that society.
I mean, well, the most, like, other person who had, like, this eating disorder was Jules from Real Housewives of New York.
Right.
And with her, her eating disorder became more of her identity rather than something she was going through.
Right.
Jackie, it's like, this isn't who I am. Like, I was this, and I do struggle with this, and that struggle is never going to go away.
Right.
But that's not going to dictate every conversation I have, where with Jules, the ladies, I mean, granted it was Carol and Bethany who are both, you know, size 00, so, you know, maybe you guys might be deflecting a little bit of your own.
Which Bethany, like, said, too, at, I think, maybe the reunion that year or something, but that, like, it was triggering for her, so she reacted, like, in that way, which is, like, I mean, well, we understand why you're coming from there, but, like, maybe be an adult.
Yeah. She said when she was 26, it all kind of began. After years of yo-yo dieting and feeling insecure about her body, she started upping her exercise and restricting her caloric intake. Soon, she was hardly eating anything and exercising compulsively, which is a disorder known as exercise bulimia, which I didn't even know that existed.
Yeah, I knew girls, like, in high school who had this, or, like, growing up dancing and, like, doing athletics. No, I mean, like, it's... Basically, they were just really harsh on Real Housewives of New York. And, yeah, made it into her identity. And yeah. She was also, obviously, in a very helpless, like, part of her journey.
Yeah.
So, like, it seemed more like the show, like, taking advantage and exposing that of her rather than her being like, I want to talk about my issues to help people, you know?
Yeah. I mean, the scenes with her and the calzone, we were discussing it earlier, like, that was such a weird cry for help, and to have to kind of see that play out on screen where it's like, we know you're struggling, we do know you're going through something, and, like, that's okay.
Yeah.
But, like, we are your friends, and we want to be here and listen to you. You don't have to play these stunts to draw attention to something that you're not doing or you're not eating or
right.
any. And Bethany said that. She's like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, this is weird. But I'm really hoping I'm really liking Jackie on the season of New Jersey. I think she's, like, spunky and funny and really smart. So I'm hoping they don't keep bringing this up. I feel like I don't like perpetuating, like, the really shitty thing that happened. Like, it's part of her story, but let's not focus on that.
Yeah.
But, hey, I'm really loving Jersey. And
And it's exciting when a new person comes in and fits in.
Well, it's, like, her and then the new girl, Jennifer, and Jennifer seems pretty insufferable. Like... Like, I think she's a spoiled brat. So during their cash trip to Oklahoma, this Jennifer girl brings, like, 6 Chanel bags to Oklahoma.
It's like,
it's just like,
why do you need that?
Yeah. I'm excited. I think Jackie will definitely get a second season. You can always kind of tell.
Definitely.
On. Like, who are they giving a lot of screen time to? Who is, like, really vibing with the girls? Yeah. And she's really vibing with Melissa Gorga.
Yeah, and, like, who has no storyline? And it's, like, faltering.
Well, like, the girl, Jennifer, like, her thing is, like, I'm a stay-at-home mom. And her husband is a weirdo. But her husband is, like... Her husband has, like, the vibe that, like, Alex McCord's husband, Simon, had. Like, he wants to be a housewife.
Yeah.
And, like, his, like, bitchy personality, like, is actually, like, driving her storyline.
Right, right. Like, possibly more entertaining than her.
100%.
Yeah.
So, I'm excited to see where this goes. So, speaking of honest confessions, Gigi from The Shaws of Sunset opened up about her drug addiction that began at age 11. So, just context, she's 36 now. She opened up in an interview with E's Just the Sip, which, do we need that, E?
No, we don't.
We don't need that. So, she started using drugs when she was 11 years old. She checked into rehab 2005, and at that point, it had been around 14 years of her using. She said, I haven't gone back to those hard drugs that I used to do. I don't want to scare anyone. I didn't do heroin or crack. I was born and raised in LA, babe. You know, it's cocaine and weed. That's the way it went. Which, like, love Gigi that she's like, I'm no poor drug addict. I wasn't doing heroin. Like, it's cocaine and weed.
Yeah, it's like, sounds so much. It reminds me of Kyle Richards. Like, I was born and raised in Beverly Hills.
I've seen it all.
She's literally, like, opening up about, like, the negative effects of her drug use. Yeah. Her drug use. And she's like, that's LA, babe. Like, no shade, though, but, like, happy for you. But interesting way to speak about it.
She, like, thinks it's chic.
Yeah.
So she said instead of hiding drugs from her parents, who were immigrants to the United States, she actually lied to them. And she told her parents that her American friends were allowed to use drugs. So her parents, and if you've seen them on the show, they are so nice and so loving of her and, like, accepting of her crazy. I could probably see them being like, okay. Like,
yeah. I mean, like, I definitely have friends who are, like, first generation and have maybe not for this particular thing, but, like, as we were growing up, like, yeah, like, everybody's parents, like, lets them out stay till 1, like, whatever, you know, and they're like, okay, and, like, it's kind of sad, but, like, I definitely see how that could play out.
I mean, I was little, and I remember going to one of my friend's house, and he was Persian, and I was probably in, like, 6th or 7th grade, and, like, I was, like, smoking hookah. And, like, my mom picked me up and she was like, you smell like smoke. And I was like, well, we've been smoking this thing called a hookah for the past 8 hours. She's like, Maggie, you've been smoking a tobacco pipe for 8 hours. It's literally, like, 8 packs of cigarettes. Like, truly unhealthy. But I guess, yeah, his parents were like, whatever, this is our culture. We don't see it as negative.
Of course.
So in 2016, she kind of hit a breaking point, which obviously we all watched on the show. Wasn't easy to see. She was at the lowest point in her life, and she kind of realized that's when she really needs to, like, come, like, get clean from all of her, you know, bullshit. And that's actually when she fell in love with marijuana.
Right.
So, I mean, I guess she was in love with marijuana, but maybe she's kicked the pills and the...
Yeah.
And the coke.
Well, and, like, I mean, if she is using it in place of medication.
So in 2016, she was diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis.
Right.
And... you see her struggling on the show with how to deal with it, and obviously someone with a history with drug abuse, like, you know, you're probably not able to give them, like, certain strong medications.
Right.
And if you do, you can't drink on them, and you can't...
Yeah, well, and you can just get addicted.
Yeah.
And especially if it's something, like, that they've kicked already.
Yeah.
That it can be more dangerous to take, like, something from the same drug family years later when your body has... built back a tolerance from it being used so heavily in your system. And, I mean, the sad thing is, like, I feel like they do still give patients with drug abuse histories these painkillers, just I know off of, like, friends and family, like...
Yeah.
And, like, yeah, you kind of have to decide on your own, like...
Which is terrifying.
Yeah, so, like, I totally get that. And it's like, if she has problems with pills and weed... Weed is obviously preferable to use as medication over these drugs that kill people.
Yeah.
So, that's understandable.
So, in 2018, she started her own weed label called WUSA, offering, like, CBD oils, capsules, infused face masks, dude. Which I have one here.
You do?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Try it later.
Yeah.
I am pretty proud of Gigi. I think she's turning over a new little leaf.
Yeah.
Obviously, yeah, don't be high all the time.
Right.
Don't do that.
Right.
She said, you know, like, my mom kind of got me into this because she was sick of seeing...
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Me have, like, the side effects of using Western medicine.
Yeah.
And she said, you know, my mom obviously always used, like, Eastern styles of health through, you know, diet and exercise, whatever. And it's working for her, so fuck yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Hell yeah. I love her, and, like, like, she's crazy, but my kind of crazy, I think.
Yeah, definitely. And, like, the reality is, like, most people that do grow up in Beverly Hills and L.A., like, do get into that stuff really young. So as much as it seems like that's, like, a really long time for her to be doing drugs, like, the fact that she's acknowledging it by only 36, like, that's pretty young.
Yeah.
If you've been doing drugs your whole life, you know, like, to be able to recognize that about yourself,
yeah.
Where a lot of people wouldn't until, like, their 60s, and it's, like, shutting their systems down, you know?
Yeah.
So good for her.
So true. Speaking of other potentially hot messes in Beverly Hills, Brandy Glanville from The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills is certainly not having the best year. The ex-cast member's car was recently broken into on Ventura Boulevard in the San Fernando Valley this past Sunday. In a cell phone video taken by a photographer who happened to be shooting Brandy at the time, which was then sold to TMZ, a friend of Brandy's can be seen removing a dude in her white Range Rover as they were walking up to get the parked car. The man then takes off and the friend chases after him. Brandy can be heard yelling, "Call the police!"
It's like, what the police
gonna, like, do? What are the police gonna do?
Yeah.
Call the police! Like, the guy's out of the car.
Yeah.
And then her friend, who I'm confused, they're calling him a friend.
Right.
He looks like a 25-year-old blonde dude. I'm like, what are you two?
And she called him her date.
Yeah!
She's terrified.
Terrifying. Poor Brandy can't catch a break. Back in episode 5, we talked about her getting robbed. Yeah, she really just can't catch a break. And I feel bad because, you know, she's gone through a lot.
Yeah.
And But I also think this is a setup.
Yeah, me too. Like, she's always trying to get attention.
Like, and the fact that someone is filming her getting into a car, like, girl, you are no Kylie Jenner.
No, yeah, like, nobody is following you. Like, pretty much nobody is following, like, any Bravo star. Maybe no. Andy Cohen if it was, like, in, like, not New York or LA where yeah. there's other celebrities living. But, like, otherwise, nobody's filming you leaving a restaurant and going to the car. Like,
no.
And
No. Like, and so the guy is, like, rummaging through her car. I don't think he got anything. And so Brandy's friend, like, held him to the ground in this headlock. And Brandy runs over to them. And the police come at the end of the video. But
thank God.
Thank God no one was hurt.
Yeah. Yeah.
My date caught the thief and held him down until the police arrived, she tweeted on Monday. People are getting so bold, it's scary. It is true, but Brandy, I think you were the bold one.
Yes, agreed.
But she's also been seen hanging out with Kim Richards lately. The photo that they posted, which I'll post on the Bravo Happy Hour Instagram account, she looks like, what's that phrase? Washed up.
But jaded.
Yeah. Yeah, I was going to say, like,
oh,
put down and wet.
Washed up or something.
Washed up and put down wet. My dyslexia is showing.
No, yeah, I know.
But she's that phrase, if anyone can think of it.
I also just feel like, can't she, like, cannot, Brandy needs to leave Kim alone. Like, leave her alone and let her try to live.
Kim was seen at Kyle's house for Thanksgiving, so at least... good to know that those two are still friends. But Brandy.
For now.
Brandy, girl, you need to get some homeowner's insurance,
yes.
car insurance,
yes.
theft insurance.
Yes.
You just need to insure your whole life because
yeah.
you keep putting yourself in these situations.
Yeah. And I like, I know this is awful, but like, do I really feel bad for her? She probably made money off her insurance just from that instance.
Selling,
like,
the video.
Yeah.
TMZ.
Yeah. Like,
not bad, girl. Not yeah. bad. Oh my god. Moving on to the last story of the night, Ashley Jacobs from Southern Charm has reared her ugly head out of the cave that she lives in. That's mean.
It's not.
I've been reporting on this damn story for what seems like months now, but Ashley Jacobs and ex-boyfriend Thomas Ravenel are both confirmed to no longer be coming on the next season of Southern Charm. However, she keeps posting about him, and last week it was hating him, this week she loves him again, posting a photo of the two of them with the caption, "For all the crap we went through this past year, the good really does outweigh the bad. You can't go through stuff like that and just pretend like it never happened. Like, the person that got you through some of the toughest times of your life now means nothing to you. You were my boyfriend during a time in my life when I needed you and you needed me. And I don't know how much I believe in the idea of fate, but if it exists, I know it brought you and me together for a reason. Even if we weren't meant to last forever. We might not be creating new memories anymore, but I still treasure the ones we have, and I'd do it all again knowing how things turned out in the end. Thank you for the memories, the good and the bad, and I'll forever cherish them until the day I leave this world. I was lucky to have met you, Thomas. I look forward to being good friends for a long, long time." She wants the D.
Yeah, like 120%. You only post something like this when, like, you find out that your ex is fucking somebody else. To be like, don't worry, I know you're fucking, but, like, he'll be with me in the end.
Yeah, like a long, yeah. long time.
Like, it's fine to feel this way about your ex, but, like, tell them that or just keep it to yourself. Don't, like, you don't need to post it on Instagram. Like, the whole world doesn't need to know, so...
And then Thomas commented on the picture saying, "Our time together brought much outside pressure, but what they didn't see was how I treasured your precious presence.
Terrifying.
I pray that you'll be spared some more senseless anger moving forward. I wish you good things, Ashley. Only good things. Always, Thomas." Which, like, it's poetic for being a drunk.
Yeah. Amongst others. Yeah. Many other things.
Yeah, a drunk rapist.
Yeah. This shit is, like, so fuckboy. On both of their parts. This reminds me of, like, one of my friends posted something on Thanksgiving that was, like, "That happy Thanksgiving text is the same thing as that hey stranger text." Oh, says. And it's, like, this is that. Like, let me post a picture of my ex with, like, two paragraphs to open the door just a little bit so they think we might fuck at some point. Right. And, like, everyone else knows that it's a possibility. Yeah,
right? And I don't know, him being gracious in a response, her being nice. I'm like, this chick is trying to get the D for mm-hmm. the holidays. It's cuffing season. Mm-hmm. Just learned what that meant.
Come on now.
Where have I been? So then, Ashley, like, this poor girl is manic. Like, it's really hard to watch sometimes. So, you know, being nice.
Yeah.
Then hits hard with the in the jugular. To, again, Patricia Altschul. Someone commented on her Instagram saying, "Now it's time to make amends with the cast and become friends with them. Be thankful for your memories, but now it's time to create new ones." And Ashley responds, "Yeah, no offense, but the cast are a bunch of losers, especially that old Patsy broad."
What?
That sounds exactly like something my grandfather would say.
I was just gonna that say, like, broad. Did Tom write that?
Dude, that is Thomas verbatim.
Yeah,
no offense, but the cast are a bunch of losers. Yeah.
Especially that old Patsy broad.
Yeah, you don't come after Patricia Altschul, who, again, you guys, I'll post this video on the Instagram account. She's, like, Black Friday shopping, and her butler, she's sitting in the back seat of her, like, Rolls Royce, her fancy car. She has, like, one of the trays, like, on a plane, like, in the back seat of her car. And he's just, like, opening up a bottle of wine and pouring her a glass of wine before her shopping spree.
Same.
And then he said, "Do you want me to put some brandy in that, like, the French?" And she's like, I'm like, what is this life that you are living, Patricia? Like, you have a butler who loves you. He's just, like, making you cocktails in the car.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is ideal.
Literally. My dream.
Right? And then, obviously, Ashley came out one step further and said, "Good old Patsy is the OG of gold diggers. I call her Petty Pat. I've also got some other names, but children could be scrolling."
Again. Sounds like him, not her.
Petty Pat. Like, that sentence ages you.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Petty Pat. Like, girl, no. This is a white man in his 50s.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
This is so good. I can't wait for Southern Charm to come back.
It's awesome, too, that she's, like, taking the bait from trolls.
I mean,
it's hilarious.
She's so stupid.
Yeah.
She's not stupid, but she's just so, like... No, stupid.
Stupid and ignorant.
So Southern Charm will be airing season 6 sometime next year, and I cannot wait. So Becky, what was your favorite moment on Bravo that aired this week?
So Candy from Real Housewives of Atlanta gave an interview on Jenny McCarthy's radio show, SiriusXM, which we all listen to.
Yeah, right. Premium content.
Worshiping
it. I mean, hey, please hire me.
Also, that Real Housewives of Atlanta was the biggest, highest rated Bravo show, even without Kim there. Which, I mean, I like that she's, like, gunning for her. I like, like...
Yeah, like, keep it up.
Yeah.
Like, don't ever stop gunning for results.
I love the, like, cross show, like, I mean, not that it is truly cross show, but, like, technically now, like, let's get that drama going.
Well, Kim thought she was so much better than Atlanta when she left last season.
Yeah.
And now she's back. The ratings are still really high, even though I haven't found anything that's really drawing me to the show. Like, the drama is not there for me yet.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'll give it time because, you know, you must.
Right.
But where's Don't Be Tardy?
I know.
It was supposed to air December of 2018, and there's been no promo out for it, so I don't know. I think it's gone. I think it's gone. I mean, she's been pretty controversial. She's photoshopping photos of her children.
Right.
Her toddlers.
Right.
You know, she's doing despicable things. Obviously, yeah, there are a lot of worse people in the world than fucking Kim Zolciak-Bierman.
Right.
But at this point, you know, last season her show was airing on Friday nights, which is basically a death sentence by Bravo.
Right.
So, I don't know. Yeah. I totally agree with Candy.
Me too. I mean, as I said earlier in the episode, I just restarted from the beginning, so I'm getting, it's like the reminders of, like, the absolute worst, most, like, ignorant, racist things that just are, like, okay, and, like, never get talked about. It's just, like, why are you such a terrible person?
Well, that's, like, the best part about going back and watching old Bravo shows, because you realize you're, like, oh, wow, like, Candy and K- Kim have actually had, like, deep-rooted issues since season one. And there could be microaggressions that Kim has been doing her entire duration on the show.
Right.
That, you know, sometimes that's just like a blind viewer, you don't realize it. But then when you're rewatching, you're like, oh, wow. You know, even society, we're in a very different place 9 years ago than we are today.
Sure.
Same with my own ignorance.
Like, same,
you know,
of
like,
course,
I wouldn't have noticed those things watching, you know, when I was watching in high school.
Right.
But now I'm like, oh my gosh, like, how the fuck can this air?
I know.
It's crazy.
I know.
Ugh, yeah.
I mean, it's her white privilege where she can be surrounded in a room where she's the only white person and say something totally racist and everyone's like, smile and nod because this crazy white racist lady is talking. Like,
yeah, and if we punch her in the face, we'll be the ones in trouble.
Right. Like, it's just...
Well, speaking of Atlanta, you know, my favorite moment of the week has to be Married to Medicine. It's a show that I don't really give a lot of love to on this podcast for, I don't know why.
But like, you do love it.
I do love it, but I guess for me, like, this show is mainly about the things that are happening off screen, and those women are doctors off screen.
Right.
Doctors are mothers.
Right.
So, like, they're not starting drama. They're not faking robberies.
Right. It's just not as juicy.
Yeah,
and
it's not
absurd.
But I just think, like, I was watching this week's past episode where the whole crew is in Antigua, like, on this, like, couple's vacation. One, this is, like, one show that they actually, like, have the men be, like, a part of the drama in the sense that, like, the Real Housewives, it's like, yeah, Mauricio might get into a fight with PK, which hasn't happened. I'm manifesting it.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like there's been some subtle, like, tensions, for
exactly.
sure, between them that I would love to see.
But this show, like, they really, it's a heavy impact on the men. It's a heavy impact on their relationships. And,
right.
Like, I don't think any of the other shows are so honest and open with the relationships. Like, for example, like, the thing that, like, really sparked my, you know, wanting to choose this was, like, Dr. Heavenly and her husband. Like, they're both doctors. And, like, one of the girls was, like, so Dr. Heavenly had her child when she was, well, her oldest child was 20 years old and she's 20 years married. So she was 5 months pregnant
sure.
when she got married.
Yeah.
And one of the women, Quad, said, did you trap him?
Oh my God.
Did you get pregnant to trap him? It's like, well, no. No.
Yeah.
But then they had like this really open dialogue.
Yeah.
It was really interesting hearing Heavenly speak about her husband and how, you know, how he's changed her life and
right.
all of these, like, amazing things. And I'm like, wow, you know, you never actually see any of the women on any of the Housewives
no.
show really being real.
No, definitely
there's always
not.
A layer of, like, oh, we're being filmed.
Yeah.
And I don't want to look bad. Or I don't want to make my marriage look bad. Or I don't want to make my life not look perfect.
Literally, like, it'll go as far as, like, crying on camera. Like, talking about it but not talking about it.
Yeah.
Like, how, like, literally how the Kardashians talk about everything is, like, they, like, bring it to your face, but they never name it.
I mean, everything is implied, especially with the Kardashians.
Oh, my God.
Like, you know, they're talking about all of these things that we're supposed to know about.
Right. But they won't.
They won't say it because they don't want to.
Yeah.
It knows that about part about their life.
Literally.
Like, you know, we're all, everyone is mad about, everyone's irrationally mad about things.
Right.
But us as the viewers, we're just not privy to what they're all mad about. But
right.
they all know it. Like,
right.
with Brandy and Adrian Malouf on Beverly Hills, like,
yes.
when Brandy knew and was, like, spreading the rumors that, you know, Adrian didn't carry her own children.
Yeah.
And then she just fucking says it on camera one day, and then poof, like, boom, like,
yeah.
everything,
yeah.
the whole season erupts.
Right, right.
Which is what you want, which
right.
is what we look for in reality TV. We want those raw moments that
definitely.
It's like, yeah, you have to be a little raw, you have to be a little, you know, not cute or perfect.
Definitely.
And that makes people want to watch. So watch Married to Medicine, you guys. They got moved to Saturday nights. That's their air date, which, again, it's actually airing right now as we record on Saturday night. But,
oof.
Get a watch, yeah. It's going into the Mormon graveyard.
If
I can smell a new edition. Well, thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me back.
Where can people find you and your art and your photography?
I'm on Instagram, and I will get my name right this time. My own name on Instagram is Not Your Honey, NTURHUMNY.
Thanks so much for listening to Bravo Happy Hour. If you love the show, be sure to rate and review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. While you're at it, be sure to follow Bravo Happy Hour on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Be sure to tune in next Monday for more of your favorite Bravo-related news.